Then welcome to part two of our issue of dealing with somebody who is not observant or observant to a different level, potentially, and the concern that I might, through my actions, lead them to violate Shemitah or other halachos. So we started last time with Lifnei Iver, just defining Lifnei Iver, talking about the fact that we assume that it applies even if the person I'm dealing with is going to sin intentionally. Nonetheless, if I aid in that, then I am liable for Lifnei Iver. We have to refine that understanding today, God willing. We said that it may even apply biblically to inducing someone or helping someone to violate Lifnei Iver Derabanan. We then talked about Misayaya, which is a rabbinic version of this. We talked about whether it's a product of Lifnei Iver, whether it's about Kol Yisrael or Eben Zebazeh, is it about Tochacha? And we said that Misayaya will not apply in helping somebody who is a mazid, who is violating intentionally. We discussed the Shach and Dagul Merbava very, very briefly. And we said also it doesn't apply to aiding somebody to violate an Issur Derabanan. And that brought us to the main topic of our perek in Shavuos, which is that of Taliyah. And the concept of Taliyah is I am allowed to engage in an activity which might enable somebody sin, might assist somebody else in sinning, in the event that that's not a guaranteed result, because there are assumptions I can make about them or about their behavior or about the items that they're working with that that could lead in directions other than sin. So if the other person isn't going to use it for an avera, or if it's possible that the items that he is working with on his end would not lead to an avera, or if it's possible the item I'm giving him could be used for something other than an avera, those are all different taliyos. So for example, we said in the Mishnah that I'm allowed to sell kalim, I'm allowed to sell tools that could be used for farming during Shemitah, but could just as easily be used in other ways. And we walked through the parak in terms of its Mishnayos and some of the Rishalmi on it, and that brings us to what we want to discuss today, which is to understand more about how, when, and why Taliyah is effective. What are the limits to Taliyah? How Taliyah can be used, if we're talking about Lifnei Iver De'oraisa, why does telling me that, well, maybe he won't violate the Avera, why does that help me if I'm dealing with a De'oraisa issue? And then we go into the question of what if my help that I'm giving could be obtained elsewhere? He doesn't need my help in order to commit his Avera. Is that really still a Lifnei Iver situation? We still have a couple of topics to get to that I included in the Mar Makomos that I will be surprised if we get to today. I may end up doing them at the beginning of next week's Shir, but after that, Rav Sammy is going to take over for the rest of the Lifnei Iver Misayaya topic. Probably we'll need next week and the week after, I would expect, in order to complete that. So, first thing to note is that there are limits to Taliyah. It isn't that you could say anything you like and as a justification for your actions, since they might not lead to an avera. At first, it sounds like, yes, you can say anything you like. If you take a look at your sheet at Source Base, Source Olive is just the piece from Mitzitz Eliezer that I noted at the very end of Shir last week, where he notes that Taliyah works for both Misayaya and for Lifnei Iver. And it gives you the logic behind that, but we saw that last week. If you take a look at Source Beis, the discussion in Avodah Zarah, Tesvav Amud Beis, Maskif La Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks a question. He's dealing with the issue of selling a person an item which is not supposed to be used on Shabbos. So Maskif La Rav Ashi, V'chol Hecha De'ein Adam Mitzuva Al Shvisas Davar HaNimkar. These are the words that I added. Shari Lemochro, is it true that if I have a utensil which is not supposed to be used on Shabbos, however, I have no mitzvah of making sure that the item rests, then I am allowed to sell it? Is that true? The Vare Kalim, De'ena de mitzvah al Shvisas Kalim b'Shvias. What about when it comes to Shemitah and my tools during Shemitah? I have no mitzvah of make sure your plow rests during Shemitah. That's not a thing. And yet, we say, you're not allowed to sell a plow. You're not allowed to sell the yoke during Shemitah. If you're telling me that I don't have a mitzvah of making my tools rest, therefore I'm allowed to sell it, then why are you not letting me sell my plow during Shemitah? El Amar Rav Ashi, kol hecha de'ika lemisla talinan. So Rav Ashi explains, the principle is that wherever you have the possibility of taliyah, you are able to be toleh. Ve'af agav de mitzuvah, even if you are commanded to have the item rest, even if there were a mitzvah, let's say, to have the item rest, you would be able to rely on taliyah. And, flip side, if there's no room for taliyah, you can't be toleh, even if you have no mitzvah. In other words, what he's trying to tell us, what Rav Ashi is trying to tell us is, it's not really about whether you have a mitzvah of having the item rest or not. That's not relevant. The only thing you need to know is, wherever you can be toleh, be toleh. Very broad. The limits of that are at all. Wherever I can be toleh, so I can invite the person for the Shabbos meal and say, well, after all, he might walk the 3 miles. Like, that's okay. How in the world can I do that? It seems to be very expansive. Take a look at the language of the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos on our Perek, and there you see a basis for it. He says, Mocher lagoyim ba'aretz yosim ikein. He's talking about the issue of selling barrels to people who bring their produce during Shemitah for the barrels, and we had given last week, we saw a limit for how many barrels you're allowed to sell, which is supposed to be linked to how much produce that they are bringing from the field. We noted that there were two different ways to understand that. Either there's a cap on how much produce they're allowed to take, or because up to a certain amount, you can assume they brought it from Hefker. So look at the Rambam here. Rambam writes, quoting the Mishnah, Mocher lagoyim ba'aretz yosim ikein, you're allowed to sell to non-Jews more barrels than that. Uli Yisrael b'chutzal la'aretz, and you're allowed to sell to Yisrael outside of Israel as well. We are not concerned that the non-Jew might turn around in Israel and sell the barrels to a Jew. And we're not concerned that the Jew outside of Israel will bring them to Israel. Why? Keywords. We do not assume Isser. Which is why you can do whatever you want in Taliyah. I do not have to assume that this person is going to do something wrong. And the Bartanura also sounds like anything goes. He's actually the clearest of the bunch. When the Mishnah talks about selling someone an animal which could be used to pull the plow in Shemitah, but on the other hand, he could decide to shecht it. So the Mishnah says you can rely on the fact that he could shecht the animal. Look at the Bartanura in Dalet. Uvecholdehu dematzinan lemisle talinan. Anything goes. Anything you can find for taliyah is okay. So if I just brought you these three sources, right, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos, and the Bartanura, it would sound like I can get away with whatever I want and just rely on taliyah. However, we've already seen that that's not true. We've already seen restrictions for some of our taliyos. So, for example, we saw Rabbi Yonah say that Taliyah works for a Stam Kli, and Taliyah works for a Stam person, a person whose proclivity to sin is unknown to us. However, it's not going to work for a Chashud. It's not going to work for somebody who is suspected. We're going to talk about that more later, whether it's this week or whether we get to that next week. But there are people for whom your Taliyah doesn't work. That's in terms of Taliyah about people. And in terms of tzliya about objects as well. The Mishnah said, you're only allowed to sell kelim that could be used in a permitted way. If they're not something that has a permitted use, you're not allowed to say, well, after all, you could decide you want to use the plow as a doorstop. That's not an option. So clearly there are limits to how we do these tzliyos. The limitation on tzliya becomes even more clear at the end of our perek, when we talk about a woman lending items to be used in the kitchen to a friend who is chashud or to a friend who is an am ha'aretz, so there they provide a justification for lending that equipment. The justification is darkei shalom. That's the justification that they bring. Did I bring the Mishnah on here? No, I just brought the Gemara on it, but hopefully you recall the Mishnah. It was on the source sheet last week. It's the end of the fifth perek in Shavuos. We said a woman is allowed to lend out her sifter, her mill, her oven because of Darkei Shalom. What we don't mention here is that you're allowed to do it because of Taliyah, because after all, maybe the Am Haaretz, maybe the Chashud has kosher produce. Why did you have to invoke Darkei Shalom? So the Yerushalmi discusses this. If you take a look at the Yerushalmi in Source Hay, Rabbi Zeira boy kumi Rabbi Mana. Rabbi Zeira asked in front of Rabbi Mana, Masnisa bistam aval b'mefarish lo? Question mark. Our Mishnah, which allows you to lend the equipment to this chashud, is that only if they don't tell you what they want to do with it? But if they actually tell you what they want to do with it, they tell you, I'm using it for Isser, you would not be allowed to lend it? Omar Lay, to which Rabbi Mana responds, Ustamo lav kiperusho hu? He says, who are you kidding? Everybody knows what they're going to do with it, even if they don't tell you. There's no Taliyah going on here. There's no Taliyah at all. We know full well. So Omar Lay, to which he replied, no, you sort of have a Taliyah. Ani Omar, nafa lispor bomos. You're giving them a sifter because they could use it for coins. As they sort their coins and they store their coins, Kavara, this other sifter, Likvor Brachol, they're using it to sift sand. Rechayim Litchon Bo Samamanim, they're using the mill in order to grind up spices. Tanur Litmon Bo Unin Shalpishta, and they're using the oven as storage space for flax. Right, Jeffrey, that's my source for using that microwave oven as a storage space. Right there, this is Yerushalmi and Shavius. So the idea here is that according to what Rabbi Mana said to him in the first place, the only reason we're permitting this is Darkei Shalom. And what Rabbi Zeira is coming back with is, no, you have a sort of Taliyah, right? So Darkei Shalom does need some level of Taliyah. Nonetheless, it's very clear that your capacity for Taliyah here is limited, and we're not so happy with relying on it. Now, how much of this is Darkei Shalom, and how much of this is Taliyah? So the Yerushalmi continues in Source Vav. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina asked, Al kol pirka is amris, o al hada hilchasa is amris. When we say in the Mishnah about lending the kitchen equipment to your friend who's a chashud or an am haaretz, you're allowed to because of Darkei Shalom. Does that mean the whole perek? All the things we're allowed to do, selling farming equipment, that's also Darkei Shalom. Or is it only about this one Mishnah at the end? So Rabbanan de Kesaron b'shem Rabbi Yehuda bar Sutus gives the following answer. Min madalo tanenam begitin ela hada hilchasa, hada amra, hada hilchasa is amris. The answer is no, because in the Mishnayos in Gittin, where they also bring our last Mishnah, that is a big discussion of Darkei Shalom, and they bring all sorts of Darkei Shalom issues, and they only bring that one Mishnah about lending the kitchen equipment out of Shviyas. They don't bring selling farming equipment. That's not part of the conversation. So that means this Mishnah is the only one that is Darkei Shalom. The rest of our parak is not. The rest of our parak is Taliyah. And on this, the Rash makes the following comment in Sor Zion. He says, even though this is Darkei Shalom, mikol makom tsarich ta'am, meaning Taliyah, you still need that weird Taliyah that Rabbi Zeira offered in Sor Hay. The Hanachta le'el Shalom.
Do you need Taliyah in other places or just right
here? Well, definitely in the other cases. The other cases definitely require Taliyah. But even in this case, you're going to require some Taliyah. It isn't just about Darkei Shalom. If I know they're going to commit Navera with it, I'm not allowed to give it.
Inviting someone for tonight, you need some Taliyah, but you can also rely on Darkei Shalom then?
So based on what we're saying here, which is a subset of the set of issues that are involved, the answer would be yes. The reason I say that is because there's a whole other discussion, which is going to be part of what Rav Sammy is going to have to come back to, of Darkei Shalom, Hana'a, Tzarech Mitzvah. It gets more complicated than this. But as of now, that's what that is what emerges. He says, you still need the Taliyah. Da'anachte le'el sharin and belav time at the Darkei Shalom. L'fishyesh lislos tam laheter. The previous cases in our perek, selling farming equipment, selling an animal, there I didn't need Darkei Shalom because there's room to argue for Taliyah. V'imkein lishrinami belav time at the, I'm sorry, yeah, v'imkein lishrinami belav time at the Darkei Shalom. So then why is it here that you need Darkei Shalom? Because we're talking about here where we know that all this neighbor has is Shemitah produce. There is nothing else in her kitchen. And therefore, the only argument you can make is, well, maybe she's using this for coins. Maybe she's using it for sand. Maybe she's using it to store flax. Which are very weak as Tlios go. And so says Tosfos in Gittin, if you take a look at source. Ches, Omer Rabbeinu Tam. The hacha biyadua shein la perishvi is just like what we see here in the Rash. Hilkach ilav mishum darkei shalom hava aser. Without darkei shalom, it wouldn't work. So the answer is that tliya does have limits, and at some point we'll need other grounds for heter in order to permit. There's a whole other set of questions, which is, does darkei shalom have any relevance when you're dealing with a sale? Maybe Rav Sammy will come back to that. We'll see. There are questions about what exactly Darkei Shalom means. Is Darkei Shalom only when he can only get the help from you? Things like that. Okay. So now we ask a question, which goes back to the Marmakomos I gave for week one, which is, why does Taliyah work at all if Lifnei Iver is a De'oraisa? We should say, Safik De'oraisa L'chumra. So we have a few different avenues to approach this. They can all essentially come down to the following three ideas. Idea number one, the rule of Safek De'oraisa L'chumra will not apply if there is a Tliyah. Magic. Safek De'oraisa L'chumra doesn't relate here. We'll explain each of these. That's one approach. The second approach will be that Tliyah converts Lifnei Iver to a Derabanan. Mesayeya possibly. And then the third approach will be, Tliya actually only works for Lifnei Iver Derabanan. Tliya doesn't work for Lifnei Iver De'oraisa. Those are your three overall approaches. We'll break it down. The first one, the idea that Safek De'oraisa L'chumra doesn't apply where there is a Tliya. The Mishnah Rishona brings this. He loves this topic. In source tests, he points out the classic question of the Rambam. The Rambam tells us that all derabanans are covered under the de'oraisa of lo sasur. You're not allowed to stray from the actions you're not allowed to stray from the words of the chachamim. So all derabanans, it seems, then become de'oraisas. Is that really true? If so, why do I differentiate between safek de'oraisa where we say lechumra and safek derabanan where we say lekula? If it's true that Safek De'oraisa L'chumra, we should be machmer on all derabanans, because they all have a De'oraisa status, right? This is a famous question. So the Mishnah Rishona notes, one approach to solve this problem is to say the truth of the matter is that Safek De'oraisa L'chumra is a din derabanan. Meaning, the rule in general for Safek in halacha is lahakil. When in doubt, eat it. That's the answer. The suffix was always lakula. However, Chazal said we are going to be makbid. Suffix de'oraisa is lachumra, but it's a derabanan rule. And so he says in source test, yesh lomar dehacha mishum chayinefesh lo gazru. You could say that they were lenient when it came to this issue of chaye nefesh. I assume what he means by the chaye nefesh here is the fellow who, you could say that it's the person who needs to buy equipment in order to be able to get food and is himself a good guy and isn't going to use it inappropriately, or it's the chaye nefesh of the merchant who needs to sell it. That is unclear to me. But that's the first approach, is to say, Safek De'oraisa L'chumra was not applied to cases where there is a Taliyah. The Mishnah Rishona notes, of course, though, that's only going to work within the Rambam's whole philosophy of Lo Sasur. You have the school of the Rashba, who thinks this whole thing is not true, and therefore that doesn't help. So we move on to our second school. Our second school says, Taliyah converts Lifnei Iver to a Dirabanan. And this is an idea that the Mishnah Rishona asserts, saying, if you take a look at source Yud, it's only michshol biblically if you know what's going to happen. He says, "Ve'efshar liyashiv dinasinas michshol lo mikri ela kishah michshol yadua b'shah shezeh no sein lo." Has to be that the stumbling that's going to occur is known when you give it. Avo b'safek im yaseh bo michshol ein zeh no sein michshol. That's not called giving him a michshol. V'alokeachu machshil es atzmo. He is actually being machshil himself. So it's in that case, it's not a deraisa, it's only a derabanan, and the Mishnah Rishona is going to argue that it's misayeya. We have the Ritva saying something similar in Avodah Zarah Tesvav Umidbeis, and I also brought you the Tvuos Shor in source Yud Aleph. He's discussing the issue of notifying a buyer. If I sell someone an animal, and I'm planning to shecht the mother of that animal or the young of that animal that day, so you know we have the Mishnah about Arba Prakim Bashana, that four times during the year you have to notify people that you sold the young and all of that. But this is where I know I'm planning on shechting the young that day. So the Tvuos Shor writes regarding this, that we accept Tlios in this regard. Why? He says the Ein Azhara de Lifnei Iver ki im de ika michshol vadai. Lifnei Iver is only when there is a definite michshol. However, the Mishnah Rishona notes that this doesn't seem to get used in the case of selling Lavona. Another of the classic Lifnei Iver discussions is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Dalet. The Mishnah there talks about selling Lavona, selling frankincense, and as a concern because you're going to sell it to people who are going to use it for Avodah Zarah. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak in Source Yud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Reish Lakish, Lavona Zaka. He says, specifically, you're not allowed to sell pure Livona, as I added in brackets, because that's what they use for Avodah Zarah. So that I'm not allowed to sell to non-Jews because they're going to use it for Avodah Zarah. Tana, we learned, Umikulan mochur lehen chavila. When you talk about not selling them these items that people use for Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to sell them large quantities. You can sell them massive amounts, because that's not going to be for their Avodah Zarah. But wait a minute, maybe they're going to turn around and sell it in smaller components now to other people who will use it for Avodah Zarah. So Abaye says, I'm not worried about that. That's lifnei de lifnei, right? A concern that if I sell it to him, he's going to turn around and sell it to somebody else who will use it for Avodah Zarah is not an issue. We're going to talk about that, God willing, in the beginning of Shir next week. That'll be Lifnei de Lifnei. We're not going to get to that this week. Why that's true and when that's true. But the Mishnah Rishona says, I don't understand. If you're telling me that when Lifnei Iver is only a Safek, right? When I don't know what he's going to use the Lavona for. Why do I have to be told that? Why do I need to worry that it might be used for an Isser at all? So the Tzitz Eliezer answers in Source Yud Gimel, not in the Tzitz Eliezer, but it's in his article in Tchumen. The answer is that we're talking about Lavona Zaka, as the Gemara specified. It was pure Lavona that's only used for Avodah Zarah, and therefore, again, your Tzliya did not meet the standard in that case. But overall, what Tzliya does is it reduces it to a Derabanan. Yes, Rav Sammy, you were going to say?
Yeah, I think similarly, just to clarify, I think the point is, and I'll say you're disagreeing with this, I just feel like it's important to clarify, the point isn't that if we're not sure what he's going to do, that it's not the Iver, I think it's also that the mixture, the object itself might not even be a mixture, which
correct.
Would cause something.
Correct.
So I guess it's a question of saying, like, sometimes I give something to someone, and it's definitely a mixture, but they might not use that mixture. Like Caleb for Shvius,
I mean, the language of the Mishnah Rishon is a little bit odd, because at one point he starts to say what you're saying, it may not be a michshol, but then at another point he says, no, it's a michshol, but he may not be machshil himself. But right. This is semantics. What he's trying to say is, this isn't called putting a michshol in front of somebody. Putting a michshol in front of somebody, I think I saw somebody else write it. I don't think he was the one who I saw write this. But the whole model of lifnei iver means you know the guy's going to stumble. Right? Putting something in front of a blind person who's walking, you know they're going to trip on it. This isn't like that. I forget who I saw say that.
When do you ever know? I guess that's my question.
But that's exactly it. That's where we hit the limits of tliya. That's exactly the point. Tliya has to be substantive enough that we don't feel like we know what's going to happen next. If you were to ask me, here's one frame, here's the next frame, fill in what's going to be in the next picture, I would say I don't know.
Yeah. I just feel like maybe you need some percentages there. I don't know.
Yeah. So Rav Asher Weiss will look at you and say, we don't work with statistics. He'd say, you know, it's just a feeling. That's all. You know it when you see it. The third school of thought is that Tzlia only works for Lifnei Iver Dirabanan, and that's what our Perek is actually all about, is reducing Lifnei Iver to a Dirabanan. So he gives it to you in three different ways. Number one, he says in Source Yedalid, maybe it's what we're about to get to in the Gemara. Maybe our Perek is only talking about De'ikanami Uman Echad Akum. Maybe there's a non-Jew who is also an Uman who will sell the tools if you don't sell the tools. So the Mishnah Rishona says that will reduce it to a Dirabanan because he can help, he can get the same assistance elsewhere. And again, we're going to come back to that. That's our next topic here. So I'm not discussing that at depth right now. But he says that will convert it to the Dirabanan of Misayaya. A second idea, which we actually saw last week, is that the De'oraisa is really only about giving bad advice. Everything else is just an asmachta. This is really hard to fit with the Rambam's language. The Rambam talks about Lifnei Iver for Ribbis, and he sounds like it's a De'oraisa. The Rambam in his Perish Trumos, Perek Vav, says, you're nanash bidei shamayim for doing it, like it sounds like it's De'oraisa, nonetheless. And then a third approach is brought by Rabbi Zion Uziel. And this is in Source Tesvav. Oh, I think he might be, yeah, he's the one who I saw talk about Iver. That's right. Take a look at the Mishpatei Uziel in Source Tesvav. He argues it's only De'oraisa if you actually try to convince somebody to do the Isser. He says, Mikolza Muchach Lehedja. Delo Asra Torah Mishum Lifnei Iver, Ela Bamakom Shein Lislos Leheter. Lifnei Iver is only where you can't be told that it'll be done right. Giving him the item is actually persuading him to sin. But as long as you could assume heter, ain't iser ala moshit. There's no iser in extending the item to him. However, who ain't mafata oso, you're not persuading him. O magbiris yitzro le iser, you are not increasing his yitzer for the iser. Ela kona o makabalu mishum mafata es atzmo. There's that language. He says the buyer is convincing himself. Umigufei tekra muchachen. He says, look at the pasuk. Shalo asra elu aseis mechshol lifnei iver. The Torah prohibits putting the stumbling block in front of the blind. Mishum she'enu yachal ha'atzil atzmo mechshol zeh. Because he has no way to protect himself. Keep in mind, the beginning of the pasuk was lo sekali el chereish. Right? The chereish also can't hear what you're doing. He has no means of avoiding it. Ditto here. Avalim nasan iver is what the text says, but I think it should say mechshol. Lifnei pikeach. If you put a mechshol in front of somebody who can see, kigon avno v'sakino shenicham birshus harabim. If you leave your rock in the middle of the road, chayev mishum mazik, lo mishum simas mechshol, your liability is because you're a mazik. You put a borer in the birshus harabim. But no one says you're chayev for lifnei iver. So Rav Uziel's argument is it's not a de'oraisa until you try to convince him to do the iser, and taliyah means that you're not convincing him to do the iser. Yes, Rav Sammy.
Is this against the Rambam's idea of like the blindness of the temptation?
Totally against the Rambam, no?
That's what I was saying.
I mean, unless you're going to say that because you know for sure that this is the way it will be used, you're now in that category of persuading somebody who didn't need persuasion at all.
Okay.
Yeah, and that would be the way to square it, I guess.
I also feel like it doesn't necessarily work with all the tzliyas. I mean, that's why you need Dr. Shalom, but are you really going to say all the tzliyas that you're not persuading him to sin? Just because theoretically he might...
No, because you're just persuading him to use your item for a mutter thing.
Oh, okay.
Please, come, walk to my house Friday night. You know, that's what you're doing. You're persuading him to get healthy. I put in Chazara questions to cover what we did last week and the beginning of today. Does Lifnei Iver and Misayeh apply? Well, I did this already as part of the introduction, so I'm gonna leave the Chazara questions. Let's jump to Chariv Radinara, jumping, so to speak. What if my help could be obtained elsewhere? He doesn't need my help. This is relevant in our Mishnayos. right? We saw a discussion about whether Tliya works for Lifnei Iver, if Lifnei Iver is Deoraisa, and we offered an answer that if the help is available somewhere else, then Lifnei Iver is only a Derabanan, presumably again, you know, Misayeya. That's a really hard read of our Perek, honestly, because our Perek did not differentiate at all based on accessibility. Never did it say the Uman is allowed to sell this if there are other Umnim in town. No one ever said that. Nonetheless, that may be a way to understand it, although it really is a hard read of our Perek. The idea that if the help is available elsewhere, this is not a De'oraisa, comes from the Sugya Avodah Zarah Dav Vav. The Gemara asks a question. We learned there that you're not supposed to sell an akum items in the days leading up to his celebration. So the question is, when you say you're not supposed to sell or buy from him close to his celebration, mishum harvacha, is the issue that the akum is going to benefit from the commerce that you engaged in, and then he's going to thank his God for it. And therefore you will have caused him to thank his God, which is not an issue of Lifnei Iver, but rather it's an issue of Lo Yishama Al Picha. You are not allowed to cause people to thank their Avodah Zarah. So is that the issue here? O Dilma, or perhaps Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mechshol. Or is the issue Lifnei Iver because he's going to use the items for Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara says, L'may Nafkamina. What's the difference? The answer is, the difference is, if he has his own animal, and therefore he doesn't need my animal for his Avodah Zarah. If the issue is, he's going to feel like he did well in business, and he's going to thank his Avodah Zarah, that's still true. He likes the fact that he did well in business, doesn't matter that he has another animal. But if the issue is Lifnei Iver, then that's not Lifnei Iver, because he already has the means of bringing a carbon elsewhere. Which introduces us to the idea that where he has the means, suddenly that's not Lifnei Iver. So the Gemara asks, V'chi islay, when he has this, whatever, cow, whatever it is, lo avar mishum iver lo sitein mechshol, you haven't violated Lifnei Iver by providing it. Vatanya, I have a brisa. I'm Rabbi Nasan. Minayin shelo yoshit adam kostrei ayin lenazir. How do you know you're not supposed to extend a cup of wine to a nazir? Ve'ver menachai livnei noach. You're not supposed to extend ever menachai to someone who is Jewish or non-Jewish, because they're not allowed to eat that. How do you know that's no good? Tamalamar v'lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. The Torah says, don't put a mechshol before the iver. V'ha'acha d'chilo yahavinon le'shak le'iyu. I don't understand. If you don't hand it to him, he'll pick it up. He'll pick up the cup of wine. He'll pick up the Eiver Min HaChai. You didn't provide him something that he couldn't get elsewhere, and yet, to Ka'avar Mishum Lifnei Eiver L'Sitein Mechshol. So the Gemara answers, Hacham Mayaskina, no, what's our case? Dekoi betray Ibre de Nahara. The answer is that we're talking about where you are on two different sides of the river, and therefore, if you don't hand him the item, then he will not be able to access it, and therefore your help is necessary. That's where it's Lifnei Iver. And Dekanami Diksani Lo Yoshit. Velo Ksani Lo Yitain Shmamina. After all, you said Lo Yoshit, do not extend it to him. Right? If you learn the Gemaras, let's say in Bava Basra, that talk about you have a shelf on one side of the street and a shelf on the other, or in Shabbos about Hotzah. The issue being moshit from one gezuzterah to another one. This is a term that's used for extending over a gap, as opposed to lo yitain, which would have meant giving it to him normally. Now, what the Gemara has done here is a bit of sleight of hand, right? Because the Gemara started by asking a question. The question the Gemara asked was, is the issue harvacha, or is the issue lifnei iver? Right? What's the problem when I engage in commerce with him before the before his Yom Edo, before his celebration? What was the Gemara's answer? Is it Harvacha or is it Lifnei Iver? Right. The Gemara didn't say. It got you neatly distracted in a discussion about Chad Ibra Dinara and Trey Ibra Dinara, which was just the nafkamina between the two. But you didn't actually answer the question, right? This is what you do. When you don't know the answer to the question, distract them. That's what the Gemara did. It was a neat trick, right? Is it Harvacha? Is it Lifnei Iver? Huh. I wonder, why would that question matter? Look over there. So now that you didn't answer the question, what about your nafkamina? What about your case?
Why don't you say that it's because of Lifnei Iver? The Gemara says, Lo Avar Mishum Iver Lifnei Mishal. It seems to insinuate that this is the nafkamina for Lifnei Iver, not for Hargacha.
But we said that as a nafkamina, in the event that you don't have, I'm sorry, in the event that he has the item, Lifnei Iver would not be an issue. So if it's usur even when he has the item, that tells me the issue is Harvacha. But we didn't actually say, is it usur if he has the item? Which would actually be what would answer it. You told me, I have a good way to figure out which one it is. Will we be makbid where the Akum has the item himself, or the Nazir, or whoever it is? But you didn't actually tell me whether we're makbid or not. So Tosfos, on this, takes it as a given that the point that we made in the Gemara here, in our side note, about Chadir B'Dinara, if you're on the same side of the river, then it's not Lifnei Iver, because he could get it himself, is Halacha. Tosfos in Source Yud Zayin says, Umari, the part that I bolded? Well, actually, no, start from the beginning of it. Ulefiza aser lahoshit lamurim lavadas kochavim devar iser aval bishu shalahem. Therefore, you're not allowed to give someone who's a mumer for avodah zara something that is going to be used by him. Even though it's theirs, you can't hand it to him. Ki adavar yadua sheyuchluhu v'nasar lahem dekli yisrael gamar chashvidim lay. They're talking about treif, so he says, you know, he's going to eat it, and it's aser for them. Talk about a Jew who is a mumer. Leave aside Dagol Merivava and the Shach. Umari b'dekoy b'makom shelo yuchal likach im lo yoshit lo zeh. But we're talking about where he couldn't get it without you extending it to him. That's our case. Uchudamasik dekoy b'treyi b'denara. Like we conclude that this is talking about where they're on two different sides of the river. And the Ramah quotes this. If you take a look in Sorei Yirches, talking about selling an akum items that could be used for avodah zara, yesh omrim hada asur limkelam dvar mashayachim avodah sam haynu dafkem ein lahem acherim kayotze bo. The isser on providing his avodah zara tools is only if he doesn't have others. Oshelo yuchlu liknos makom acher, or we couldn't get it elsewhere. Avoli mecholim liknos makom acher, but if he is able to get it elsewhere, mutar limkelam kol davar, you're allowed to sell him whatever you want. So writes the Mordechai, so brings the Rama. The Yesh Machmirin, some are strict, and Poskim write on this, you note that he says Yesh Machmirim rather than Yesh Osrim. That indicates that he believes it is a Chumrah, it is not Kor Halacha. And then he says, V'nagula Hakel Kisvara Harishona. The practice indeed is to be lenient like that first view. V'chol Baal Nefesh Yachmir La'atzmo. Baal Nefesh will be more careful, and he quotes you the Ran on that, as well as the sugi in the beginning of Masechah Shabbos, and in fact, this is relied upon la halacha. The Chelkis Yaakov has a tshuva where he uses this to permit having your vending machine running on Shabbos, because there are other vending machines as well. He doesn't discuss there the Kenyan issue on Shabbos. That's its own discussion. But the vending...
Was that applied to the following case? So obviously there's different post-game and different issues, but let's say inviting the person for Friday night, and there's different opinions on that. So let's say you're more machmer, and usually you wouldn't. But you know your next door neighbor always invites person X Friday night. So, because he holds it is allowed. So, since person X is gonna go to that guy's house anyway, your neighbor, can you invite him then?
So, it's a good question, but there are all sorts of other pieces that are going to come into play, some of which we'll get to here, some of which are going to wait until next week.
Friday night, that's other things.
Right, I mean, but the fundamental question that you're asking is a good question. The fundamental question you're asking is, when you say it has to be available elsewhere, does that mean there's a physical item that's available elsewhere? Or can that include, I know that he does the equivalent thing anyway, and therefore I am not really increasing Isser for him. That's really the question you're asking.
I mean, like your neighbor is going to sell this guy the frankincense, so I might as well sell him, or the tools. Or
right, no, I understand. I understand what you're saying. You could compare what you're saying to the tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, which I think I sent out in the Mara Makomos this week, is a very important tshuva. Yotes Lamed Gimel, I sent that out. It's a very important tshuva in medical halacha. The question of doing medical exams that are a necessary step on the way to an abortion, on the way to taking organs from a patient who we think is still alive. So the Tzitz Eliezer invokes this concept and says, well, somebody else is going to do the service if it's not you.
Right.
Which is a big chiddush, but there's more to be said about that tshuva. So, Chad Ibra Dinahara, this argument of you're on the same side of the river, and therefore we can be lenient, is brought for Lifnei Iver. It's also brought for Misayeya. Rav Shlomo Warman had an article in Hadarom, Samaches Samachtes, where he dealt with a question which I've since seen dealt with by others as well, but at the time he was the first one I saw deal with this, and so he sort of shaped my thinking. The question of the travel agent. You're a travel agent, and a Jew contacts you wanting to buy a ticket to travel on Shabbos. They want to fly on Shabbos. So this goes back to before 2001, and therefore airline tickets were transferable, and therefore he has a tzliya, they could be buying the ticket, but actually transferring it to somebody else who's going to be the one who's going to fly with it. Ah, the good old days. But that's a tzliya that he offers, and in this discussion he also talks about the fact that there are other travel agents available, and could you use Chad Ibra Dinara regarding Misayeya as well? And first he says, of course you can. He notes Tosfos in Shabbos Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, which I brought you in Source Yud Tes. They are talking about the issue in the beginning of the Masechta there, where we have the Ani outside the house and the Balabais inside the house, and one is taking something from somebody else's hand and transporting it outside. So Tosfos says, V'im Tomar, V'aka Avar Alif Ne'iver Lo Sita in Michshol. There's a Lifnei Iver issue here. Va'afilu ma'yusha yachol litlo afilu lo haya biyado. Even if you're going to tell me it's where the guy could take it, even if it wasn't in my hand, dilo avar mishum Lifnei Iver, there's no Lifnei Iver issue because he could get it anyway. Mikomako misa drabanan miya ika shechayav lafrisho miyisr. You still have a chiyuv to separate him from the isr. So according to this view, I said it wrong when I introduced it. According to what Tosfos here says, Misayeya persists even if it's Chad Ibra Dinahara. He says you still have a problem of Misayeya even if it's accessible to him. And that's consistent with the Ran in Avodah Zarah, which I brought you here in Source Chaf, who says, I have a chiyuv lahafrisho me'isser. I have a chiyuv to separate people from sinning. How in the world would I be allowed to assist him? Who cares where he can get it? So one view is, Misayeya still is going to apply. The other view is, no, it does not. And he brings you, Rav Warman brings you, Tosfos and Kiddushin, which I think I'm actually going to skip. It's an interesting discussion in its own right. But I think I'm going to skip it just because we have too much to do. But he has room to argue that Messiah does not apply. The reason I'm going to choose to skip this part of it is because we don't end up concluding this. Happens to be, if you see Source Chafal, the Gemara in Kiddushin, and the Tosfos that I brought you in Source Chafes, you can read it that way, to say that Messiah will not apply, because the fellow has other options. Nonetheless, the conclusion of Rav Warman is that Messiah does apply. That's the position that he takes. And therefore, in cases where we permit, it's only because there are additional grounds for leniency besides Chad Ibra Dinahara. There must be another factor, like a Darkei Shalom factor, or you're dealing with a mummer, or something like that. So far, what we've seen here in this discussion of Chad Ibra Dinahara is that the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, B'dav Vav, seems to open up the possibility that if the item or the help is accessible to him elsewhere, then my role is not really a Lifnei Iver role. It may be a Misayeya role, but it's not a Lifnei Iver role. And the Tosfos likes it, the Rama likes it, there are Poskim who like it, and everybody goes home happy. Except not everybody likes it. The Ran in his Chidushim to the Sugya says, you know what's really interesting? Not everybody brings this lahalacha. If you take a look at Source Chaf Gimel, he says, Ve'eni roa shi'ez adas ha-ga'onim zal. The Gaonim didn't say this. Sharav al-Fasi hishmet bayazu. The Rif left this piece out, the whole thing about Chad Ibra Dinahara. V'kasa Mishnah seinu bistam. He just brought to the Mishnah without bringing this point about the Chad Ibra Trei Ibra Dinahara. Mashma de Svirale de Kula Bechad Gavnehi Mishum de Azilomode. It sounds like he believes the whole thing is he's gonna go thank his Avodah Zarah, and that's the whole discussion. V'chein re'isi l'Rambam zal. And the same thing is true in the Rambam. Shekaza perek tes milchze v'adazara shloshim lefnei yedein shal akum asher likach mayam limkor len davar miskayim harei she'asar hakol v'lo chilek bein dvarim haru'yim l'tikrov as she'enam ru'yim. The Rambam did not make any distinctions whatsoever. That's where the important line. Lelesle, the Rambam did not make any distinction between whether the guy has an animal already or does not. And then he says, Uchadivrehem nirali, I agree. Da'afagav debayan hacha. Granted that we ask it as a question here. Avshit sugya mishum azilumodahu. The conclusion of our sugya is that the concern is that he might go thank his God. So the Ran notes the absence of this heter in the Rif, in the Rambam regarding Lifnei Iver, and the Minchas Chinuch in Reish Lamed, hang on one second, the Minchas Chinuch in Reish Lamed Beis Gimel takes it as a given that the Rambam does not believe in the Treyer B'Denara requirement, and he can't understand why, because it's an explicit Gemara. He's just befuddled. Yes, for Sammy.
So, just from the point of the Ran, I think this is what I'm getting at. You could hold that generally on the Avodah Zarah case, Lifnei Iver doesn't apply if it's Hadar B'Nara, but just hold specifically the Avodah Zarah case because of the specific concern of Lo Yishama Al-Picha that you still can't sell it to a non-Jew because he's going to be Azul Moda.
Yeah, right? You could say that. But the problem is that not only in this sugya, but everywhere the Rambam never mentions this.
Right, so that's a problem with the Rambam in terms of the Rift, Pascha
mentioned. Right, if you wanted to just... Yeah, if you just want to address this spot in Avodah Zarah, you could do that and preserve the heter of Chadi B'Denara overall. That is true. But you see it's not so, because look in the Shulchan Aruch, right? I brought you the Rama in your Yoredei Kuf Nun Aleph, who says, hey, by the way, if it's accessible to him elsewhere, if he already has, but the Mechaber didn't say that. Why didn't the Mechaber say that? Does he not like kulos?
Yeah.
What?
I think you could just answer that's misayaya.
So it's misayaya. Then tell me that. I mean, it's just very odd that you don't even mention the nuance.
Right.
You know, I mean, it is very strange that we're not, you know, we're just omitting it from our halacha book when it's something that is so relevant and so practical. So two approaches to this. Approach number one is the approach of the Ran in the sugya there. And the Ran's answer is what we just read. The answer is that the sugya should be read, that the issue is harvacha, the issue is not lifnei iver. And that's the way the Gaonim read the sugya, that it's really all about harvacha. That's approach number one. And that they're willing to extrapolate from there to lifnei iver, how lifnei iver works even beyond and not sort of draw the line with Avodah Zarah being an issue of Leishim Al-Picha, as Sammy just noted. The other approach is brought by Rav Nachum Rabinovich in his Yad Pshuta in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Tes Halach Ches, and in the article in Tchumen Yud Aleph that I sent out with the Mar Makomos last week. And to make a long story short, he says Rabbeinu Chananel had a different edition of the Gemara, and that edition was not available before the Vilna Shas included it on the side of the page, which is why nobody brought it beforehand. But Rabbeinu Chananel had a different read, which I brought you here in Source Chav Dalet. Ibayalahu, same starting point. Isura delameyavu mishko bahadei mishum delo tarviachle. The issue is, don't give him a profit in business because he's going to thank his Avodah Zarah. Ve'afagav the islay behema ledidei, and even though he has an animal, kaven demosvislay umarvachaslay osir, since you are increasing it for him, he is going to thank, and therefore it's osir. O Dilma, Mishum v'lifnei iver lo sita en mechshol, or maybe not, maybe it's a v'lifnei iver issue. V'o kimna, and we establish a kigon shanar mafsik beinehem, v'eino yachol lichfoso v'lito mimenu ba'al korcho. We say the cases where there is a river between them, and therefore the other fellow could not force you and take the item against your will. Hu de over. That's when you are in violation. If the point is that the recipient can't force you to provide the iser, that's where we have a heter of trei ibra denare. And that's the Gemara's diuk of lo yoshit versus lo yitain, that there is a river in between them. So Rav Rabinovich notes the following. Rabbeinu Chananel, and he argues that this is Rashi as well, And he says it's found in the Munich manuscript of the Gemara. Omit the line that says, if you don't give it to him, he will take it. That line, he says, isn't there. He also notes the phrase, standing betray Yibra Denara, appears in two other places in Shas. I did not double check this for him to see if this is exhaustive of all the places it appears. But in both of them, the point of saying they're on two sides of the river is about inability to use force. One is Bava Kamma Kuf Yud Zayin, about handing over someone else's property to Akum, and whether the Akum could have forced you to do it or not. And the other in Sanhedrin, Ayin Beis Amud Beis, is about witnesses who see someone being a rodef, pursuing someone to harm him, and they warn him from the other side of the river, but they can't physically stop him. So he says the concept of being on the other side of the river isn't about simple access. It's about exertion of force for the purpose of coercion. And he says, Trei Ibra Denara that we have as a heter is only, Chad Ibra Denara, it's really the reverse. Chad Ibra Denara that we have as a heter is only if the other party could force you to help him. That's really the way to frame it. In other words, the difference between Tosfos and the Ramah and the, on the one side, and the Gaonim, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, on the other side, is that according to Tosfos, you are chayev only if you provide access that was not available without you. That's when you're chayev. If you provide access that wasn't available without your help. Whereas according to the Gaonim, you are chayev any time you help, even if your help was not necessary, so long as the other party could not have forced you to help. You follow? You with me? So that's the other way to read it. Now, there are other potential limitations to relying on the leniency of Chad Ibra Denara, but I'm not going into them because they don't really relate to Shvius. I'm just going to mention them outside. Number one, the question of, is it Chad Ibra Denara if your help will be better? Say it the other way. If your help is better than the other options that this guy has, is that really called Chad Ibra Denara? If your help is cheaper, if your help is higher quality, if it's available more easily, is it still Chad Ibra Denara? Second, and this goes back to Jeffrey's question about the fellow getting invited Friday night, is it Chad Ibra Denara if the alternative source of helping him is also Jewish, and therefore also forbidden under Lifnei Iver? This is the Mishnah Melech, Chochos Mava Volove, about lending with ribbis, and there are other Jews who would lend to him. And maybe, if you look at Rashi and Gittin Samach Aleph, it might be that you need Darkei Shalom as a factor in order to assist with Chad Ibra Denara. It could be Chad Ibra Denara alone is insufficient. Okay. Next point, and I realize it's 11:25, but we'll at least we'll start on this. For whom does Taliyah work? With whom? Who are we talking to in these cases? Our perek allowed various acts of sale to somebody based on Taliyah without mentioning anything about the personal observance of the buyer. Apparently the buyer could be a chashud, the buyer could be an amaretz, the buyer could be a stam, it doesn't make a difference. Suddenly at the end of the perek, when we talk about lending kelim, we identify two categories of borrower. Take a look at source chavei. Mash'elas isha l'chavrta ha-chashuda ala shviyas. You are allowed to lend to somebody who is suspected of violating Shemitah these pieces of kitchen equipment, but don't actually work with her. And then you say, the Eishes Chaver is allowed to lend to an Eishes Am Ha'aretz. Leave aside the very interesting discussion of why it's Eishes and it's, she's not a Chaver and she's not an Am Ha'aretz. Leave that aside for now. But she can lend out this, again, kitchen equipment for her. This is not a Shemitah discussion. This is a Tumah Tahara discussion. But she's not allowed to work with her, directly once she includes the water, because you're not allowed to machzik yidei ovrei avera. Just to tell you a little bit about the Tumah issue here, the Pnei Moshe says the issue in the second case is that this is Tevel, and it's going to have challah separated from it. And if the dough is tamei, then the challah is going to be tamei. However, this Mishnah also shows up in Avodah Zarah and in Gittin. Rashi in Gittin says no. The issue is that Prushim eat chulin b'tahara. That's the concern. And then you have a third possibility, When this Mishnah shows up in Avodah Zarah, the Rambam comments on the Mishnah there that the Mishnah is actually following the view in Sota, Lamed Amud Beis, that there is an Isser against making produce of Eretz Yisrael Tameh, ever. Which we don't hold Lahalacha, but that's what's going on in this Mishnah. So three different ways to understand the second case in our Mishnah. But bottom line out of all of it is, this Mishnah differentiates between a Chashud, an Ama Aretz, right? That means the previous Mishnayos, which did not mention any specifics about the person and was willing to rely on Taliyah, must be talking about a Stam person. Not an Ama Aretz or a Chashud, but just a Stam. Maybe you can say that. Rav Sammy's looking at me like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Hang in there. First of all, we know that the person we're talking about previously in the parak is not a chaver. That's very clear. You look at the Rambam in Source Chavav, he says so. The Vizelo Nesar El Lachashud Alashvius. Misha Eno Chashud Mutter Limkolo Komashi Vakesh Meshu Matznia Alamotzai Shvius. As long as the person is not a chashud, you're able to be tola. That's the language of the Rambam here. You're not talking about a chaver. You're talking about somebody in between. And we're willing to rely on Taliyah. The Nimukei Agriv points it out in Source Chav Zayin, down to the wire here. The Nimukei Agriv points out in Source Chav Zayin that we are willing to rely on a Taliyah with this Stam person. So for a Stam person, we're good with Taliyah. If you take a look at his language, he says, Be'eno Chashud, as long as the person is not a Chashud, Tolin Bazet, we're able to be told that maybe he's buying the equipment to use next year. Mishamachi kan da afti adinan de lokeach hekadin l'shemen, adayin enu beberu shiyavi min ahefker. Mikomakom talinan kevin shushava b'shava. Mashenken lokeach kav kadim, and so on. The idea here is that the rest of the perek is assumed to be talking about a stam person. The last Mishnah is what introduces us to the Am Haaretz, is what introduces us to the Chashud. Yes, Rav Sammy. What do you mean?
If Solomon says when we talk about selling Kalim,
yeah.
The Amrish says talking about a Chashud. You would learn that, so that's what I was saying.
So no, because we're gonna come to that. That obviously is next week. But what we got out of this opening part is that Taliyah is going to be effective in these Mishnayos that precede the end of the Perek, it sounds like, with somebody's Stam. What we need to do to unpack it next week is to talk about how to take this, and is that really so, and what's the Chashud, what is the Din for an Am Haaretz, what about the Stam person, and to wrap up Lifnei to Lifnei, a minor point as well, and then Rav Sammy will take over. All right. Thank you very much, everybody, and have a good Shabbos.
Good job, Thomas.